Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to Community Conversations here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Chris Bessler, today's host. We have an informative show for you today on a range of projects underway by the City of Sandpoint. We talk with Sandpoint Mayor Shelby Ronstadt and City Administrator Jennifer Stapleton about the master planning process that's underway right now with the Arts and Historic Preservation Master Plan, the Multimodal Transportation Plan, and the master plan for city parks that is already bringing big changes to our parks. There's a lot on the horizon for our town. We'll get to that in just a moment, but first, here are a few words about this show. We air Community Conversations every Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. with recorded interviews on local issues. Plus, there's a podcast of each show available after airtime on our website at krfy.org. The shows are recorded a few days prior to airtime, while we continue to observe coronavirus precautions that have closed our small studio to live interviews. But we hope we'll be back in our studio for live broadcasts pretty soon. So with that, let's get on with today's talk about city matters. We're talking now with Sandpoint Mayor Shelby Ronstadt. Shelby, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Pleasure to be here, Chris, and good morning to all your listeners.
And City Administrator Jennifer Stapleton. Jennifer, thank you for being here.
Good morning, Chris.
So we're conducting this by Zoom. I like to mention that. It is pre-recorded. We're talking on Tuesday, actually. This will be airing on Thursday. And Zoom gives us uneven audio quality at times. So hopefully folks will stick with us if it does get a little warbly here or there. But you guys both sound pretty good right now. So it's our first talk here on KRFY in 2021. And I'll just throw out the general question. We'll kind of start. Is the year off to for the city, Shelby?
Yeah, well, you know, so far so good. I think, you know, the community has done well through COVID. I think, you know, this has been probably one of the greatest impacts on our community here that we've ever had, and as well as the state and the nation and the globe for that matter. So, you know, we were really anticipating that this could be devastating for our economy, as well as, you know, for our public health. And of course, you know, our hearts go out to those who have lost loved ones to COVID. And certainly there have been people, families here in our community that have been impacted. And, but all in all, I think we've remained healthy here, and our economy has remained surprisingly strong. We've continued to see, a lot of visitors, through the summer, and even into the fall and into the winter now. So so things are going well. I'm actually really pleased with the progress that we made on our master planning efforts. As you know, I'm sure most of your listeners know that we had the most robust master planning effort that the city has ever undertaken over this last year. And it was delayed to some degree by COVID, and that is to be expected because of, you know, as everyone is aware, it kind of slowed everything down, certainly for a period of time. And but I think we did the best that we could as a city to adapt to that, create a new timeline. And we made really significant changes in terms of our technological infrastructure to be able to accommodate participation from the public and even internally as well, to be able to continue to work through the pandemic, regardless of protocols and limitations around social distancing and gathering and whatnot. So I think you know, we've kind of gone through a really challenging time, and I think we've done well to make it through that and really do some fantastic work as a city. And I expect that we'll talk a lot about some of those specifics around those master planning efforts. But I'm really pleased with where we're at as a community and how we responded to this challenge. And I think things are really looking good for 2021.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to follow up on your sentiments about the COVID virus, our case rates have been going down. And in fact, you guys are sure aware of it, but last Thursday, the Panhandle Health District dropped our risk rating from red to orange, which red's the highest, and we've now made progress. We're back down to the orange. So hopefully folks will
continue to wear masks and treat this seriously and continue to drive this thing down as vaccinations roll out.
Chris, I want to echo that. I think there's a real risk to us getting complacent because we've come down from the peak. But this is still a real thing. And the only reason that we've been able to start to turn the corner on this thing is because people have been really, really diligent and continuing to practice social distancing, wearing a mask in public, and doing what they can to maintain healthy practices and try to beat this thing back. So really appreciate all the hard work that people have done, both personally and in their places of business. And let's keep that going and make sure that we continue to make progress on this pandemic.
So let's dig in on some of these master plans, because actually you're well along in the planning process on a couple. For one, of course, is the Parks and Recreation Master Plan, but let's come back to that in a minute. Give us an update on the Arts and Historic Preservation Master Plan, either Shelby or Jennifer, whichever one is closer to that one.
Yeah, well, I'll start off, and Jennifer could come in and fill in the holes, because she's really good at picking up the details. She is just in it every day. You know, I think she works two full-time jobs there at City Hall. So, and she's just got her fingers in every pot. But from my perspective, at the mayor level, you know, it did take a little bit longer to get us through this process than we anticipated, both because of COVID and also, you know, more recently we slowed the process a little bit because we wanted to make sure that we were getting adequate participation from all the voices that needed to be heard in this process. And as with all of our planning efforts, we really try hard as a city. It's our commitment to make sure that our public engagement processes are robust and really, you know, go the extra mile to make sure that we get not just adequate participation, but we really reach all sectors of the community that may not otherwise have a voice. So we are prepared to bring that before council at the next council meeting. And I think, sorry, we got the dog in here. So that's going really well. And I would remind the listeners that this is the city's first ever arts and culture master plan. So I think this is a really exciting opportunity for us to bring together the resources that we already have as a community, around arts and culture and really, better organize ourselves and think more strategically about how we can maximize our potential and not only to enrich our own culture and you know, I think the kind of the look and feel and of our town, but also it has a real direct impact on our economic vitality as well.
We're only going to have a few minutes to discuss each of the topics we have, because we got a pretty good list, but Jennifer, maybe you could fill in the gaps on this one. So what are a few of the points, at least, that are in the master plan? What does it accomplish for arts and historic preservation?
One of the significant things I think that this plan is really bringing together our efforts on the commission side, which has been more focused on visual arts, as well as our historic preservation side, and bringing that historic commission and the arts commission together into a single commission that is addressing arts in the very broad form. So visual arts, performing arts, all of the different art forms that we see with art, but also thinking about culture and events and then wrapping that theme of history throughout all of that. I think where a lot of inspiration for this came from was when we did that banner project downtown, when we lost the building to the fire there on Bridge and First, and then down by the Cedar Street Bridge with the building there where Arlo's restaurant formerly was located. When we saw that building close down, in that space due to repairs needed. And that banner project, I think, really inspired the community in thinking it was an art project, it was a historic project, it was cleaning up the area and contributing to the overall economic vitality downtown with improvement to appearance and for tourists. So I think that became a great jumping off point for this discussion.
Okay, and that one is something that people can check out on the website. There's actually, I happen to know, there's a flip page presentation of the master plan that you can flip through it on your computer and read all the details on that. And you mentioned that it's likely to come before the council at their next meeting.
This Wednesday, it's scheduled to go to council for adoption, as well as an ordinance change and forming a new consolidated commission.
Okay, well, that's a bit of a major move right there. So let's move on. Another master plan that's in the works right now that affects everyone who travels in town or through town is the multimodal transportation plan. Tell us what that's about and where you're at in that planning process.
I'll jump on this, and then Shelby can probably fill in with this a bit more. I would note for the listeners that the transportation plans are available currently on our website, and we also have them on display down here in City Hall. So we just finished a series of three workshops last week, and all of those you can view with a link off of our website. There's a transportation link right on the front page at www.sandpointidaho.gov. One of the major projects that's contemplated in this is the Baldy extension is a discussion again, and it's one of the major projects identified in the project or in the proposed plan. It moves the location from where had been discussed previously, kind of over in the Popsicle Bridge area, to actually south of the tracks on property that the city already owns. And I don't know, Shelby wants to talk a little bit more about kind of the history around this and the plan, but I'll hand it over to the mayor.
Yeah, overall, I mean, we could talk for an hour just about the transportation plan. There's so many exciting components of it, but one of the components, I think, is the Baldy extension that Jennifer's mentioning, because this is something that's been considered for at least going on 20 years, I believe. We originally saw concepts when the University of Idaho was considering a second campus on that property they own off of Boyer there. So the concept has developed quite a bit since then, and we've done, you know, significant traffic analysis that has been part of this process, and realized that creating that Baldy extension there really provides such a relief to our industrial stakeholders, businesses out there in the industrial area, in the industrial business park, the northern part of Sandpoint there. But it also provides tremendous relief and safety, improvements along Division, because, of course, you know, our schools, our high school and our middle school, as well as Waldorf, Farman, you know, we've got all the schools along Division there, and it creates a real challenge to maximize safety through that corridor with as much traffic as we have there, and then as much, pedestrian and multimodal and a bunch of young kids on that street, you know, Monday through Friday. That creates a lot of challenges for us. So this Baldy extension not only really serves those industrial users to the north, but it also dramatically relaxes that traffic intensity along Division.
And so can you describe where the extension will go? So right now you come out Baldy, yeah, and you hit Boyer.
That's right. So that extension would continue eastbound along
across kind Boyer.
Of parallel, yeah, across Boyer, and sort of paralleling the railroad tracks that cross right there. And then it would go under the railroad tracks before it turns before it meets Highway 2. So it meet Highway 2 right about where the Chamber of Commerce building is, which is also on city-owned property there. And so there would be an intersection there, a three-way intersection. And of course, the northbound traffic would basically be unaffected. It would be able to free flow north. And the southbound traffic there, as I understand it, there would be a traffic light there, and that would allow, southbound users to, you know, could stop or they could turn right. And then people coming off of Baldy, could go either way. And they would be controlled by a light there as well. So, you could have a lot of queuing there. You know, you could have trucks or cars that could back all the way up to Boyer there, which, you know, that's a lot of queuing, which is important to be able to have the storage there if there's a traffic light. But that's going to, you know, provide a lot of relief off Boyer, off a Division, and it's going to really do a lot for Sandpoint.
Yeah, that's a pretty big change. And alas, I have to be the timekeeper here. We got to move on to other subjects in just a second. But that, again, you can get information on that. Now, you broke the transportation master plan up into three different workshops. And you had a workshop on the Baldy extension just last Thursday. What kind of feedback did you get on that? I don't know if that was a hearing where you were wanting a public comment on it, or just more of a workshop.
That was a workshop that was really about a public conversation. So it was not at this point a workshop with the city council. We don't expect this plan to move forward to city council until probably our second council meeting in March, most likely, possibly the first in April. So at this point, there's still an opportunity for the public to review the concepts that are contained in the plan and provide feedback. You can do that electronically on our website. And the three, we kind of divided up the concepts and plans into three topics. One, east-west connections. The second, the Division Avenue road safety audit that was completed this summer, and our citywide pedestrian priority network. And that also looks at our bicycle connections as well. And then the third part is focused on the Baldy extension and the US Highway 2 corridor. So I encourage people to take a look at that. Transportation is a much talked about topic in our community these days with all the growth that we're experiencing and the increase in visitors. So these are important conversations and really define how we get to where we're going, regardless of our mode of transportation for the next 20 years.
Okay, so folks can check that out on the city website. That's at the Sandpointidaho.gov, G-O-V. So go there. There's a link right on the homepage. You can see all three components of that master plan. And let's get into another master plan, the Parks and Recreation Master Plan, which has been underway now, really, for a couple years. What's the status there? I mean, there's a couple things at play there. One is the changes that will be coming to the city beach. I believe those were approved. There's a land swap that was there, and as well as you can update us on the additional work coming from Memorial Field. So let's dig in on that one.
Yeah, I'll kick it off. This was really a big bite, you know, and as you mentioned, we've been working on this for nearly 2 years. And of course, the master plan was approved by council in, I think it was September, that sounds right. I had mentioned privately before our conversation, we'd had to break off one component of that, and that was the component of the master plan dealing with the watershed, the Little Sand Creek watershed. What we've so far is we've completed the first component was the Memorial Field concept, and as everyone is aware, I'm sure we've got a brand new field out there that is a fantastic play surface. In fact, even with the ice and all of the, you know, harsh weather that we've had over this winter, you know, you could go out there last week and be, you know, throwing a frisbee or kicking around a soccer ball and if you wanted to be out in sub-zero temperatures, but it was available for play. So with the old field that we had, you couldn't do that. So It's really a fantastic improvement there, and the improvements continue with phase two of Memorial Field, as we're going to see much improved parking over there as well, especially for the boat launch in particular. It's going to increase capacity, but also improve efficiency and make it more accessible for boaters. And then there will also be another component that we haven't had before, which is a non-motorized boat launch for kayaks and whatnot. So that'll be a new component down there, and a dog park as well that'll be coming at some point in the future. That'll be on the lake view side, I should say on the lake side of the park. So those are new uses that we're incorporating in there that haven't really been accommodated for previously.
Can I jump in on that one?
Yeah,
so
please.
We'll see construction on the parking lot and the boat launch occurring this season.
Yeah. Jennifer, do you want to break down the timing details?
Yeah, we're out to bid right now for that project, seeking bidders for that. It will close later this month, and we anticipate awarding a contract next month. What that will mean for users in the community is we'll be resurfacing that parking lot area. Restrooms will be going down there. The boat launch itself will be improved. And as a result of that, the boat launch will be closed while construction is underway. And we anticipate that project being substantially complete and reopened to the public for Memorial Day.
Oh, that's coming right up. Yeah, okay. So that's kind of exciting. So continuing on with the Parks Master Plan, give us an update on the city beach, that big piece of the plan.
Yeah, so as I'm sure your listeners are aware, we've approved that component of the plan late in September as well. And that was really an exciting component, I think, as well. It really expanded the vision for what's possible there at City Beach. And that included a land swap that allowed the city to expand its footprint down there, acquiring essentially the RV parking lot that's directly to the west of the existing City Beach Park there, in exchange for the grassy area on the east side of the hotel. And that actually is a twofold gain, because it allows the city to expand its littoral right-of-way there. We have a larger water frontage there now, but it also allowed for us to kind of get the parking separated, a lot of the parking and particularly the boat traffic separated from the beach proper. So it's going to dramatically improve not just the efficiency of flow of traffic of users through there, but it's going to improve safety, particularly around the boat launch, which is a big concern of ours. There's too much congestion and too much safety concern where the multimodal trail kind of spills out in front of the boat launch there. So it cleans up that problem really nicely and adds a lot of storage for boaters to be able to park their rigs and trailers. It also really allows the hotel to be able to expand, increasing, basically doubling their capacity. And then it creates a great opportunity for continued events and at a larger scale than what we've seen historically. Events often have happened in and around the grounds of the hotel there. With the new design of the park, it really is encouraging that kind of event use to occur on City Beach proper, on the park there. And it really accommodates some great opportunities there.
And what's the timeline now for the hotel construction, do you know?
I believe they've moved it back a year. I think they're planning on breaking ground in September, unless you've heard different, Jennifer?
They're planning on a teardown immediately after Labor Day of this year, and then anticipate an 18-month reconstruction time. So we'll be open in time, hopefully, for events, the restaurant, the hotel, going into summer of 2023.
Okay, well, there again, another big change coming for our community. And continuing on with the Parks and Recreation Master Plan, there's also a component that deals with the city watershed. Why don't you tell us what's up with that, Shelby?
Yeah, and I'll mention briefly too, Chris, that there's significant changes that are proposed for the sports complex over at Traverse and Centennial Parks. And that's going to, you know, increase our capacity there for those other uses like tennis and pickleball, soccer. So a lot of the field sports, that's really our primary field sports complex. So it with the new focus and design there, it really allows us to be able to accommodate larger events like tournaments and whatnot. It also improves efficiencies from the operations and maintenance side that we can consolidate those kind of uses into one area. It makes it easier, more cost-effective for our staff to manage. So I want to mention that. But regarding your question about the watershed, you know, the city has owned over 4,000 acres, roughly 4,000 acres of wilderness up there in the Little Sand Creek watershed, which is the basin as you're driving up to Schweitzer there. And historically, that has just been used for conservation purposes. That is where we get our potable water historically, at least until 2012 when the lake plant was opened up. Now the lake plant provides roughly half of our potable water supply. So the Little Sand Creek watershed isn't essential for us. It now is, you know, essentially, you know, it's a backup system, a secondary system. But we do use that water still. And we could meet all of our needs with the lake plant, but we certainly couldn't meet all of our needs with the Little Sand Creek watershed, which is why we built the lake plant. But what we've done is, you know, since 2014, when we approved the watershed crest trail, it really was the first time that the city kind of opened up the possibility of what it could be like to use that land up there for recreational purposes, as well as for water protection and conservation. And so we did a pretty robust effort over this last year to do an analysis of the watershed area and really kind of an asset mapping and understand to get an understanding of what we have on the ground there, what we have for sensitive areas and you know, environmental considerations that need to be considered before, you know, embarking on opening this area up for any kind of additional activity or use. So we've completed that process and we're now, and I think, you know, it went really well. I feel like we're definitely on the right track and we're prepared at this point to contract with a firm that would be particularly adept at looking at these kinds of opportunities and being able to help us understand how can we maximize recreational use without compromising water quality or conservation in the area. And so, you know, we do already have some trail activity up there. I mentioned the watershed crest trail. There's also the lower basin trails that are used for biking and hiking that essentially go from the roundabout up there at Schweitzer down to roughly between the second and third switchback down there. There is a trail system that historically has existed through there. Over the last couple of years, the Pondre Peddlers in partnership with the city have worked really hard with a lot of volunteer efforts and grant dollars that have been generated here locally to essentially rebuild that area, build some new trails through there that improve the environmental concerns that were present there and have solved any erosion issues that we've had through there, but also have just made a much more expansive and enjoyable trail for users through there. So with this new plan component that will be forthcoming, we'll look at what other kinds of opportunities can exist up there in the watershed that could even include other users to be involved. And also my hope is that we could expand the scope of this and not just look at the watershed proper, but also look at trails and open space throughout Sandpoint's system, the greater Sandpoint area, and see where there's other opportunities for for improving trail connectivity and open space citywide. Because one thing that was made clear through our parks planning process is that if we're to continue to offer the same level of service in terms of parks per user, as we've had historically here in Sandpoint, we're going to have to continue to add to our park system over time. And, you know, one of the recommendations out of the plan was we need to add 14 acres, you know, by 2022, just to maintain the level of service that we currently have, because we're Sandpoint is growing. We're growing rapidly, and we continue to see incredible use. In fact, if you were to see the numbers, just, you know, speaking of the watershed properly, we've been doing tracking over the last couple of years. The Ponderay Peddlers have been doing tracking, seeing how much use they have up there in the watershed, and the growth curve has just been phenomenal. The number of users up there. We see the same thing with Pine Street Woods. They've been tracking use up there. It's only been open for a year, and they've had over 20,000 visitors up there in the last year, which is just a phenomenal number. You know, we only have less than 10,000 people in Sandpoint. So that's just an incredible rate of use. And I expect, you know, we're seeing that, on all of our trails in the area, and that will continue to grow. So we need to continue to look forward and be active in continuing to bring new open areas into our system if we're to retain that identity as a community that not just values open space and connectivity, but really invests in that quality of life that we value here.
We only have about 6 minutes left, but that's a segue into another parks issue, and that is the disposition of the Baldy property that's just on the other side of the railroad tracks from the town, which was originally acquired to use potentially for the sewer system, but has since been actually put into use as a disc golf course. What's likely to happen with that property, you know, briefly?
Yeah, I'll speak to that. So as you mentioned, it's owned by the sewer ratepayers. It was bought by the sewer utility, envisioning a future regional wastewater treatment plant there. And the council decided a couple of years ago that actually the technology has changed over the years, and we could actually accommodate the growth that we project and then some at our current site, which is at the Lakeview plant there next to Lakeview Park. So we've, you know, once that was decided, it essentially that property became surplus for the wastewater utility. So in order to keep the ratepayers whole and pay them for their investment in that property, the city needs to look at disposing of that property. But my hope is that rather than sell the property to the highest bidder, that we should sell it to the general fund, which is the fund that is responsible for parks and recreation and many other things, but it is wholly separate from the wastewater utility. And so we need to keep investments from the wastewater ratepayers separate from the other functions of the city. And so I think it would serve best the city taxpayers to have that property transferred to the general fund. And that would be a decision of council that could make that happen. That would allow the city to retain the Baldyfoot disc golf course that has been an incredible gift to the city of Sandpoint that has been wholly created and maintained by the Sandpoint Disc Golf Association. And that park, it's 37 acres there on the west edge of town, just on the other side of the tracks, accessed from Baldy Road, Baldy Mountain Road. And it's a great place to take your dog and just let your dog run around. There's a trail system through there that you can walk. And I think it is also important to, you know, talking about open space and trails connectivity, it could be an important corridor for north-south traffic on a natural trail on the west side of town, because it'd be possible to get all the way from through some other partnerships to get all the way from Baldy to Pine Street there and connect to the whole Pine Street Park system that is Traverse and Centennial and all that. So I think it's a great asset that's already owned by the city. It makes all the sense in the world for the city to retain it. There's never going to be a better opportunity in the future for the city to purchase at a low cost, 37 acres right on the edge of town. Because once that land's gone, it's going to go away. It's a development, and we're going to continue to see that throughout the region. As Idaho is the fastest growing state in the nation, and certainly we're seeing that in our region here. We've seen record growth over the last several years, and we expect that trend to continue. So now is really our last chance as a community to be able to acquire and retain those last areas of open space and opportunities for connectivity that will allow us to continue to protect and enhance that quality of life component that we really value here in Sandpoint.
Yeah, parks are certainly an important part of our lifestyle here. A lot of the reason that people move here is for the beautiful natural area we have. We're down to just 2 minutes left here. And of course, I have a bunch of other questions that I'm not going to get to. Before we run out of time, anything that Jennifer or Shelby that you wanted to bring up that you'd like to the public know about?
Jennifer, go ahead. I've been hogging the mic. I'm sorry about that.
I'd just like to remind the public again to get on our website, sandpointidaho.gov, and take a look at our transportation concepts. And we'll be looking forward this year to future conversations about moving our parks plan forward, as well as the Arts, Culture, Historic Preservation Plan. There's a couple groups in town right now raising money for components in the parks plan. One raising funds for the skate park improvements, and they formed a nonprofit. There's a GoFundMe page that's out. And last time I looked, they had raised about $1,000 over the weekend for improvements that will start at Hickory Park. And we have a downtown business raising money, Shakopaw, for the dog park. And those become seed dollars that we can leverage for grants to make those visions come to fruition sooner rather than later.
Okay. Well, I want to say thank you, Jennifer and Shelby, for taking time to talk with us today. We're Zoom limited with this particular talk, but we're going to come back and have another catch up here in a month or two, and see what's going on.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you to your listeners as well.
That's it for our show today. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to Community Conversations on 88.5 KRFY and our talk with Sandpoint Mayor Shelby Ronstadt and City Administrator Jennifer Stapleton. I'm Chris Bessler. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. for more Community Conversations. If you happen to miss all or part of a show, remember, you can hear the recorded podcast on our website at www.krfy.org and click to our podcast page. Thanks for listening today.